and remember, inspired by the word of God, you can be more fully alive.
This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. Good to have you on board on Catholic Connection. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. This morning, I think you really need, well, I always hope you listen closely, but those of you, and I know it's all of you in our audience who are very, very concerned about the attacks on the church and religious freedom, really want to listen to our guests this morning, Lewis Brown and Father Mitch Pacwa. Now, Lewis has been on many, many times. He is with CMF Curo. He's a dynamic young lawyer who does amazing work in the field of health care and religious freedom, standing up for the rights of the church. He's going to tie those two together because obviously we're in a very tumultuous election year. No kidding, right? But lately, the issue of religious freedom has been really focused, and this is very important, obviously, on the Middle East and what's happening to our brothers and sisters, especially in the war-torn regions and Iraq and the places that have also been attacked by groups like ISIS. And the Knights of Columbus have done a phenomenal job of raising awareness on that. But in terms of the election, that's also where they're focusing on, which is needed, but we also need to look at religious discrimination that's going on at home because we are being discriminated against greatly. I mean, we can just start with the HHS mandate, and Lewis will address that. But we need to know what else is going on, and he does a very good job of raising awareness and letting us know all these stories that we may not hear if we're only listening to the secular press. And that's why we need to keep them out there for you here on Catholic Radio. So Lewis Brown is up first on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Then the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, does not need any introduction, but he did have a really, really important webinar yesterday, and you can link to that webinar by simply going to his Facebook page, all about our responsibilities as Catholic voters. What does that mean? How do we make decisions? What are we looking at? And he focused on a recent statement, and Lewis will address this too in the interview because I asked him about it, or I'm going to be asking him about it. The statement that came out from some of the leaders of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, how religious freedom is nothing more than code word for discrimination, homophobia, Islamophobia, sexism, and everything else that's bad under the sun. We are being marginalized more and more, brothers and sisters. And if we don't wake up and smell the cappuccino, as I like to say, and stand up for the truth lovingly, but being out there on the front lines, joining those who are out there on the front lines, starting with voting as Catholics, which is extremely important, and then also speaking up for life, doing what we need to do in terms of education, that we're not going to recognize this country anymore. For me, I don't recognize it anymore. I have to tell you, when I come back from overseas and many of my trips, there used to be a feeling like, oh, great, I'm home. In some ways, I don't feel that anymore because I just don't recognize it. Very, very sad how we are losing bit by bit. And in the last 10, 15 years, it's been happening a lot more quickly. But we are losing what was great about this country. So we will be talking about the very important issue of religious freedom this morning on a Thursday with Lewis Brown and Father Mitch Pacwa. Right now, though, we do need to check the news and see what's happening elsewhere in and around our world. So let's do that right now on a Thursday morning, September 15th, 2016. And once again, you're listening to EWTN. Here's what's happening on a Thursday morning, September 15th, 2016. We'll be talking about this story more on our upcoming program in the National Hour after the chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights called Current Appeals to Religious Freedom hypocrisy. One archbishop is now rebuking his statements as reckless and ignorant. According to Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, the statements painting those who support religious freedom with a broad brush of bigotry are reckless and reveal a profound disregard for religious foundations of his own work. The Archbishop chairing the U.S. Bishops Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty and made his comments Tuesday in reaction to a recent statement by the chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, Martin Castro. The commission releasing its report, Peaceful Coexistence, Reconciliation, Non-Discrimination Principles with Religious Liberties, last week. The report was in the works for 3 years, exploring the conflicts between anti-discrimination laws and religious exemptions from those laws. Regarding the conflicts, Chairman Castro, a Democrat and Obama appointee, issued a particularly strong statement against many appeals to religious freedom. He said the phrases religious liberty and religious freedom stand for nothing except hypocrisy, so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, or any form of intolerance. The Archbishop calling Castro's comments shocking. Well, Pope Francis yesterday morning celebrating Mass with the French priest Father Jacques Hamel, whom he described as part of a chain of Christian martyrs that runs through the history of the Church. As Vatican Radio Linda Bordoni reports, Father Hamel was murdered while celebrating Mass in his parish church by two men swearing allegiance to the so-called Islamic State. The murder happened in July.
To the congregation, which included Archbishop Dominique Lebrun of Rouen, along with 80 other pilgrims from the diocese, Pope Francis said that to kill in the name of God is satanic.
Uccidere in nome di Dio è satanico.
Reflecting on the many martyrs that are part of the history of the Catholic Church, the Pope said this is a story that repeats itself in the Church. And today, he continued, there are more Christian martyrs than there were at the beginning of Christianity. Today, he reiterated, there are Christians who are murdered, tortured, imprisoned, have their throats slit because they do not deny Jesus Christ.
In questa storia arriviamo al nostro Pesach. Lui fa parte di questa catena di martiri.
This history, the Pope said, continues with our Father Jacques. He is part of this chain of martyrs. On the altar, a simple photograph of Father Hamel, who was slain by two Islamist fanatics while celebrating Mass in the church of Saint-Étienne du Rouvray on July the 26th. The liturgy was broadcast live by the Vatican television station. I'm Linda Bordoni.
A man who works in the Social Security office in Champaign, Illinois, facing the possibility of losing his job because he refuses to watch a training video about LGBT diversity. IT worker David Hall says his religious beliefs bar him from watching the video and that signing a statement saying he did would be endorsing something that violates his Christian faith. He's hired an attorney and says he's willing to lose his job, but says he's fighting on behalf of other Christians. Security concerns are being blamed for forcing a United Airlines flight headed from Newark to San Diego to make an emergency landing. Flight 1243 diverted to Denver International Airport, where it landed safely. Local police and the FBI were standing by to meet the flight. There's been no word so far on whether any arrests were made or on what the exact nature of the security concern actually was. A British teen is facing charges for allegedly planning a terrorist attack at an Elton John concert. The teen arrested last week and is accused of plotting to set off a nail bomb at John's September 11 show at London's Hyde Park. Police say he tried to take out loans to finance his plan and also tried to hire a bomb maker. The White House acknowledging growing concerns about whether Russian hackers are trying to influence the November election in the U.S.
It's important for our policymakers to make cybersecurity a top priority. And unfortunately, the United States Congress has failed to do that. There is more that Congress should do.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying President Obama and his national security team can only do so much. Earnest noting the president has often pressed the Senate and House to address cybersecurity in new legislation. Donald Trump is, in fact, revealing some of his personal health information. These audience members saw Trump talk about a recent physical exam during a taping of the syndicated Dr. Oz show, which airs this week.
Dr. Oz said that, you know, if it was his patient, he would be extremely happy and would just kind of send him on his way, which was very cool, but it was also very convenient.
The only thing was he takes a statin for cholesterol. Otherwise, he's a healthy man.
The physical exam was conducted by Dr. Harold Bornstein. He's the same doctor who previously claimed that Trump would be the healthiest president in U.S. history. And Julia could be a big-time rainmaker for the Georgia and South Carolina coastlines. It was centered near Savannah yesterday afternoon, slowly moving northeast. And Dennis Feltkin of the National Weather Service says the storm could eventually wind up centered over the land.
Suffice it to say, it will most likely be over land, and it's just going to be one big rainfall nightmare.
With the possible 3 to 6 inches for coastal South Carolina and 2 to 6 inches possible in Savannah, a large part of the Georgia coast is under a flash flood watch right now. And a British nurse has been cleared after being diagnosed with Ebola on her return, as Ollie Barrett reports, from Sierra Leone in 2014.
Pauline Kafaki was cleared of 3 charges of misconduct by the Nursing and Midwifery Council. The panel threw out the charges after deciding she'd been impaired by illness and had not set out to mislead staff screening her at Heathrow Airport. She then flew on to Scotland and hours later was diagnosed with one of the most severe Ebola cases ever recorded, spending a month in isolation in hospital in 2015 and being hospitalised again last October. Ollie Barrett, London.
And finally, in our news segment on a Thursday morning, federal prosecutors taking a look at Wells Fargo. The Wall Street Journal reports the investigation is in its early stages, but the bank has been issued a subpoena. That investigation comes following news that the company paid $185 million in fines last week after employees were caught opening sham credit card, debit card, and other accounts to meet sales goals. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning with Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
At His Feet uses theater to help audiences experience Scripture in a fresh and powerful way. Through dramatic scenes, music, and reflection, encounter Jesus in His living Word, a ministry ready to visit your church, convention, Advent, or Lenten event. At His Feet, a soaking in Scripture, a chance to have your heart moved by the power of His love. Visit mctdramaministry.org or call 313-359-1736.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to charitymobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to charitymobile.com today.
Hope you're having a blessed Wednesday morning. It's 12 minutes past the hour. Chatting with health expert in terms of health care expert, Lewis Brown, who's worked on the political scene inside for many, many years and has been going around and doing a lot of great talks and education regarding health care from a Catholic perspective. Lewis, thanks for joining us. I know you have a dinner coming up in Michigan. If anyone is in our area, we'll tell you about that in a second. But I kind of wanted to bring you on this morning because so much discussion out there in the election, a lot of rough rhetoric and very sensational stories. We hear a lot about immigration. We hear a lot about the war on terror. We're not hearing, at least I'm not, in some of the stories that I'm watching, hearing, I don't think, enough on health care and what's going to happen. What's your take so far on the discussions that have been going on in the elections?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Teresa, and thank you for the opportunity. I would agree with you that there hasn't been as much discussion as one would like about how the candidates see health care being executed, administered publicly or privately going forward, and I think that's unfortunate. I also am a bit concerned just with the lack of discussion on religious freedom within the context of healthcare as well. And I think it's very important for us as Americans, for us as Catholics, to be able to make an informed decision. One of the many issues that we should know where the candidates stand on is religious freedom in the context of healthcare. You know, there may be general statements from both candidates, both presidential candidates, on those issues, but in terms of really understanding what that means, I think it's important that there be a lively debate on that and that they take positions.
What does it mean in terms of religious freedom and health care? How do those two go together, and what are we looking at?
The context of religious freedom under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and, enshrined in other avenues, including, in my mind, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, is that government is there to uphold the laws of this country, the laws of this nation, which includes the right to practice one's profession consistent with one's faith, to practice what they believe to be their God-given talent, their God-given vocation, consistent with one's faith. That religious freedom is something that is respected and protected on Sunday, but it's also respected and protected on Monday through Saturday. And that's very important, especially within the context of healthcare, that we have people of faith that are working as medical professionals, as doctors, as nurse practitioners, as healthcare administrators. They're organizing and running health insurance companies and hospital systems. Obviously, we know that Catholic hospital systems are among the most important part of how healthcare is delivered today. And so it's very important that people and organizations that are faith-based within the context of healthcare be able to execute their mission, serve who they are there to serve, while being able to do so consistent with their faith.
And how are we doing in that category so far, based on the last couple of years since the introduction of the Health and Human Services mandate?
Yeah, I think it's really rough. And it's very important that people be aware that this isn't, when you hear bishops or you hear different Catholic medical professionals talk about their concerns about religious freedom and health care, that it's not a theoretical concern. It's not some forward-thinking, prophetic concern about what could happen in the next 30 years. We're talking about things that are happening right now and so quickly that it really kind of takes your breath away. So you do have the Federal Health and Human Services mandate that essentially required many religious employers, including dioceses, obviously we know the Little Sisters of the Poor, to utilize their health care plans to deliver a coverage, health care coverage, insurance coverage for contraceptives that could be abortifacient for sterilizations and other things that violate church teaching. Essentially compelling these different organizations, the dioceses and other religious nonprofits to violate their faith and the delivery of their own health care to their employees. That's just one issue, right? So you have the HHS mandate, but you also have things that occurred 2 years ago that currently are still the law in the state of California, at least, in which the state of California has said that virtually all, not completely all, but virtually all private health insurance plans in the state of California must provide abortion coverage. So there's an actual abortion mandate in the state of California right now. A department of the Federal Health and Human Services looked at that issue and said no problem here. And so that regulation is standing now, that interpretation of state law is standing now in the state of California. You also, Teresa, just had the state of Washington. The Supreme Court essentially allowed the state of Washington to continue with its regulation requiring pharmacists in the state of Washington to carry contraception, emergency contraception, in their pharmacies with really no meaningful religious exemption the way that Justice Alito's dissent read in that case. And so we just have a lot going on right now, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's, outside of those two legal political issues, you also just have the reality that it's becoming increasingly hard for Catholic medical students to become doctors just because of where we are as a culture in healthcare. So there are a lot of issues going on right now. I've heard the candidates talk about religious freedom in the foreign context, but we not fully need to talk about religious freedom in the domestic context, and has been particularly within healthcare. They had, you know, I think they've made various statements. I believe that they've made various statements on religious freedom generally. Maybe they've referenced healthcare, but we need a robust discussion on that, especially given the stakes.
If you're just joining us on a Thursday morning on Catholic Connection, we're chatting with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo. The website is cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. It's a living healthcare ministry. They have a beautiful website with all kinds of different news articles and resources. Lewis, my concern is someone who's out there like you on a regular basis and in various circles speaking and you know, doing different efforts to educate. A lot of people even don't know the basics in terms of the HHS mandate. They may have heard about it, but they may have forgotten about it. And too many people, even in the Catholic Church, see this religious freedom issue, as you pointed out, as something overseas that deals with the genocide that's going on of the Christians in that part of the world, as well as other some religious minorities. Or even if they've heard about the HHS mandate, they've forgotten about it, or they see religious freedom as not being able to go to church. And as long as we can go to Mass on Sunday, then we have nothing to worry about. How do we break through that ignorance or lack of awareness?
Right. That's just incorrect. I mean, I think that viewpoint is just wrong. Obviously, what's going on with Christians in the Middle East is so much more serious and something that I believe requires for us as American Christians, as American Catholics, requires a maximum effort on our part to be engaged and to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. And so that's very important. And I do think, you know, we just know it's just obvious that that is at a whole different level what's going on there. However, what's going on in the United States right now is a conservative effort to move faith, to move God completely out of the public square, completely out of the public square. And it's happening in real time. It's happening right now. I heard a very good articulation of why this is so important by Ryan Anderson, who works for the Heritage Foundation, very faithful Catholic, speaks out a lot about the importance of protecting true marriage, or sometimes called traditional marriage. He spoke in Denver a few weeks ago. And the way that he contextualized it is that when we're talking about religious freedom, we're talking about the ability to proclaim the gospel at all. That's what we're talking about. And that's why it's so serious, because if there is an effort that's successful to squeeze God, to slowly push God out of the public square, out of the culture, we have now had our hands tied in terms of our ability to evangelize. We don't just proclaim the gospel on Sunday when we go to Mass, but we do it in how we serve, how we love people, how do we interact with our neighbors, how do we interact with our coworkers, how do we interact with our colleagues. Can we be in a medical profession? Can we be in a legal profession? While also being Catholic. You know, by way of example, there was an article in the Washington Post that discussed a proposed rule with the American Bar Association that this article said could have the effect of preventing lawyers or at least putting lawyers under scrutiny according to the ABA ethics rules or ethical guidance for participating in court cases that are supporting traditional marriage. That's really serious. This is a Washington Post article that is interpreting the possibility of a national ethics rules that the states would then have the option of implementing in their own state bar associations that could be construed to say, hey, you are not acting consistent with ethical standards by supporting traditional marriage and the legal profession. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. And that's the Washington Post, right, which isn't thought to be some bastion of orthodoxy. So, you know, people need to understand that this is serious. This is happening now. The Lord is going to win in the end in all things. But we can't just stand by. You know, souls are at risk if we're not able to live our faith, in the hospital, in the courtroom, in the halls of Congress. It's very important that people be aware that this is an issue that's happening now, that religious freedom is being squeezed on a lot of different levels in ways that are kind of unprecedented, at least since before the Civil War. So I'm a 34-year-old guy who went to historically black law school. I have a very kind of broad perspective on American culture and these issues. But it just really takes your breath away the way that these things are occurring right now. And it's important that people realize that, there should be a sense of urgency and to be aware that they don't have, we as Catholics can't just go along to get along anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to be engaged. And, you know, it's something that in addition to voting, we have to be aware and we have to be involved in educating and raising that awareness level. We're chatting with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, cmfcuro.com. When we come back, Lewis, there's another concern out there, a story that has been circulating about the chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights attacking proponents of religious liberty in a recent statement saying that religious freedom, religious liberty is justification for bigotry, prejudice, and discrimination, and basically saying that religious freedom is a code term for those things. And this is what, again, is so frightening. If they can say that, this is just being used as a weapon and a shield by those seeking to deny others equality, when just the opposite is happening, when our equality, when our rights, when our freedoms are being attacked. So we'll talk with Lewis about that when we come back. And the best way to find you, is at the website, cmfcurl.com?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thanks. And you've got a dinner coming up, real quick one, on October 1st?
We do, at St. Hugo the Hills, and we also have a reception that afternoon that I'd love to talk to you about. But we're going to talk about, you know, the beauty of God, evangelization through beauty, and how that is important within the context of healthcare.
All right, great. We're going to continue our conversation with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, and they've got that great day if you're in the Michigan area for that dinner and event. You can find it out at their website. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed all the great-looking Ram pickups all over Livingston County? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Where are they all coming from? Our dealership in Pinckney, Michigan. We have over 100 to choose from, and during our Ram Power Day sale going on now, you can lease a new Ram for as low as $169 per month. Come in and see for yourself why our sales are leading the competition. We sell for less and treat you with the dignity and respect you deserve. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part from our day sponsor. To honor the Legionnaires of Christ and Regnum Christi on this, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, we thank them for their dedication to the Church and for helping its members grow in faith, hope, love, and charity. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077. The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 15th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. The demands of parenting teens and the challenges of the current culture can often leave us feeling worn out and discouraged. Join other moms and dads and adult educators for this adult-only evening filled with encouragement and practical wisdom from Debbie Herbeck. That's this Thursday, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
You can learn a lot about a university when you see what stands at its center. At the heart of Franciscan University of Steubenville stands Christ the King Chapel. Jesus is at the center of our spiritual life, campus community, athletics, and our academic community, where professors help students develop a passion for knowledge and truth. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
Does swing music make you happy? You'll be surprised to learn what you can do with it. Don't miss Elizabeth and Mark Ficicelli, who will teach us the theology of dance. You will be amazed. That's The Good Fight, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Good Fight comes to you live each Saturday only on EWTN Radio. For times in your area, log on to EWTN.com.
It's a Thursday morning. Hope you're having a blessed day so far. Teresa Tomeo chatting with healthcare expert and cultural expert Lewis Brown from CMF Curo. They are based in Michigan. Great website, great people involved in raising awareness on religious freedom, especially in terms of healthcare and the medical issues. We were chatting, Lewis, before the break about another story that's making headlines this week about the head of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights attacking proponents of religious liberty. Let me read just a couple of paragraphs. The Obama-appointed chair, Martin R. Castro, stating that phrases such as religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, or any form of intolerance. Castro further declared that today, as in past, religion is being used as both a weapon and a shield by those seeking to deny others equality. We now see religious liberty arguments seeking their way back into our political and constitutional discourse in an effort to undermine the rights of many Americans. Isn't that interesting that that is exactly what they are doing to us?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. You know, religious freedom is arguably basis for the American founding in a lot of respects. You know, while the different communities in the Northeast and the Northeast colonies were able to kind of come together, why a lot of Americans came here initially. So this isn't reinserting anything. This is part of, religious freedom has been part of our political and constitutional and legal discourse from the very beginning. I think it's important, Teresa, having spent a fair amount of time and working in Washington, D.C., and I went to Howard University for law school, which is really the birthplace of civil rights law in the United States. It's very important that we find places of commonality with all folks from whatever political spectrum where possible on the issue of faith and religious freedom. But what's being articulated here is just truly not accurate. And the things that are being proposed by this administration on certain issues in particular would just have been unheard of, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, even just 10 years ago. It's really concerning. And again, you know, what that means is that we have to be engaged. We have to be politically engaged. We have to be engaged with our local Catholic conference. We have to be engaged with what's going on at the school board and at the county executive level, at all levels of government, and we have to do what we can do. We don't have the luxury of doing this, and these things can happen very quickly. If you look at what's happening with traditional marriage, another example is, Teresa, is people, I don't think, folks haven't gotten around the fact that someone has gone to jail for refusing to go along with same-sex marriage. That happened with the clerk in Kentucky. It happened. It's not theoretical. And you know, there's a lot of good to be done in the United States. There's a lot of ways that we can work with folks on all different political spectrums. But when it comes to these issues around marriage, around health care, around the issue of abortion, we really have to struggle. We really have to put up a campaign to really protect the gospel and protect the ability for the gospel to be applied within the public square. And there's an effort right now to say that it's only on Sunday, that it's not really religious freedom, that it's really just freedom of worship, and that's not correct. We can't be who we are as Catholics. We can't even be who we are as Americans from whatever religious background if we're not able to practice our faith, if we're not able to practice our faith consistent with who we are, consistent with what we believe. We're not able to practice our profession consistent with who we are. What is being asked of us by these kind of challenges to religious freedom, whether it's in healthcare, in the legal profession, or just in society in general, is for people to essentially cut themselves in two, separate the spiritual part of who they are from the natural part of who they are. And we're whole human beings. We are called to be an integrated people, and it's not right for us to be asked to do that. It's not even consistent with who we are as a country. It's not consistent with the founding. And so we have a proper mandate from the founders of this country, from the different movements that have made this country what it is, the civil rights movement, to continue to make a more perfect union. And we have to do that. We have to kind of claw back and push back and restore the principle of religious freedom, the reality of religious freedom in our Constitution to what it was meant to be.
It's very frightening to me, though, because still most people, even those who are in the pews and in the Catholic Church, and we know that it's under 30% now, if you look at, for example, the writings of and the great work of Sherry Waddell, right, for her first book, Intentional Disciples, even those who are in the pews are looking at freedom as a matter of worship and not the overall package, as you just mentioned. And too many people who still call themselves Catholic leave their Catholicism outside the voting booth.
Yeah, and that's that's not right, you know. But Bishop Barron gave a great talk in Chicago, I believe, some years ago, and I watched it on YouTube sometime last year. He talked actually sometime earlier this year, and he talks about how the Lord wants to be the Lord of everything. He gives us the freedom to say yes or no, but he wants to be the Lord of everything. And so we're talking about the Lord of love, beauty, truth, and freedom. And he calls us as Catholics to spread his love, truth, beauty, and freedom in all aspects of society, in all aspects of the culture, to never leave it behind. And why would we say no to that? Why would we say no to having love and truth and beauty in our healthcare, in our government, in our culture, in our popular culture? Who doesn't want to be part of that? If we really believe that as Catholics, that God is who he says he is, we have experience with faith, we should all the more be feel a call in our mind and our hearts to spread that love, truth, beauty, and freedom everywhere. And especially when we talk about freedom and beauty, it's attached to the truth. And so there's sometimes those are hard truths, but they're important truths, and it leads to a greater beauty. We can't just worship on Sundays and leave the truth, the beauty, and the freedom behind Monday through Saturday. It doesn't make any sense. And so the question is, are we really who we say we are? When we say we are Catholic,
who do you say that I am? Who do we say that Jesus is, right?
Right. And what does that mean for us every day? We have to be integrated as men and women and put it all together. We shouldn't compartmentalize the Lord. He doesn't compartmentalize us just on Sunday. And so we shouldn't compartmentalize him Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, and so we all of us have to be engaged and involved. And I think we're all called to evangelize, and everybody can do that a little bit differently.
Right, that's right. Yeah, and I think, you know, we as a ministry team finished the 33 Days to Merciful Love, which I want to encourage everyone to consider doing, which is a new retreat to consecrate oneself to the merciful love of the Lord, to divine mercy that Father Daly just put out there. And again, it's a little way, recognizing that folks have a spouse, they have children, they have jobs, there's a lot going on, there's a lot of pressures out there. But finding those little things that the Lord is calling us to do to help the culture, to help our local community, to be engaged, it's important that we can do them.
Absolutely. Lou, it's always great talking with you, and we'll have you back on for our local hour to let people know about that wonderful dinner that's coming up. Louis Brown from CMF Curo talking about getting out there and making a difference and speaking the truth and also being aware of all the issues, especially religious freedom and health care, as those two are very much related. We'll be right back on a Thursday. Stay tuned. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
We have a Gospel of Life talk and a dedication of a grave marker by Archbishop Vigneron as we open our new season on Putting on the Mind of Christ this week.
Perhaps the most important thing I could point out is that we are here for a profound act of religion. Yes, there are certain kinds of political implications to our action, but it is not principally for those implications that we are gathered.
UCLA staff psychiatrist Dr. Miriam Grossman exposes the agendas of Planned Parenthood and other groups as she opens our next program with a talk for parents and teens. It's Your Teaching My Child What? Then, Archbishop Alan Vigneron dedicates the memorial for 23 aborted babies found in a dumpster behind an abortion mill. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Continuing our discussion on religious freedom with someone who knows so much about it, not only here in the United States, but around the world. Of course, he's a scripture scholar, an amazing Bible teacher, radio and TV talk show host, and a wonderful priest, our very own Father Mitch Pacwa, who just yesterday did a wonderful webinar with our Sunday visitor regarding this whole issue of religious freedom. Father, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, so this is pretty scary. I've been talking a lot about this statement that came out from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. Chair of the U.S., and the Religious News Service actually put out a press release on this, Chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights calls the phrases religious liberty and religious freedom code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and Christian supremacy. Now, we just discussed this in brief with our friend Lewis Brown from CMF Curo from a healthcare perspective in religious freedom. This is just far-reaching, though, Father, because this idea that those of us who are supporting religious freedom are really promoting all of these horrible things, just such as discrimination, intolerance, racism, etc., this is what they want people to believe about Christians. What do you say to this, and what was your intent in terms of your webinar yesterday discussing this?
Here's one of the important elements, is that we have a series of statements like this going on. It's not something that just came out of the clear blue, but we can go back to a number of points. For instance, do you know the name Chaya Feldblum?
I think so, but refresh my memory.
Chaya Feldblum was appointed by President Obama and approved by the Senate to be the head of the Equal Employment Opportunity
Commission. Oh, okay, now it's coming. Okay, yeah, got it. Mm-hmm.
And when she ran for that, she explained very carefully back in 2009 in an article that she wrote that sexual issues are going to have precedence over religious freedom.
Wow.
This is her official thing. And she got, of course, approved by the president who chose her, and by the Senate. They agreed with that. 2 years later, in 2011, Mrs. Clinton, speaking at a United Nations meeting, also said that people who that we have to make changes into the way that people describe their values, and that religious traditions and cultural traditions have to give way before various issues of human sexuality. So she, this was not something she did, as just a personal thing. This was as Secretary of State speaking in Geneva at a United Nations meeting. And then when she did start to, and after she had left office, she had spoken to a women's group saying that in regards to reproductive rights, which means not only birth control but also abortion in their lexicon, that we have to change religious beliefs.
Right.
Now, this is her statement that she thinks of it as her duty to change religious law. And then we see the United States Commission for Civil Rights come up with this statement that is an attack. And it's not at all unlike this this attack on religious liberty and religious freedom as a code word for racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and Christian supremacy. This is not unrelated to statements early in the Obama administration by the Secretary of Homeland Security warning about Christians who were against abortion. And even the National Guard in the state of, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in a slideshow given to the men and women in the National Guard, they one of the problem people was the Catholic Church. Now, they removed that slide afterwards because it became public. But this is something that is very important. And we've also seen back in 2015 how the state of Kentucky had a religious test for volunteer pastor counselors in the youth division, forbidding them to speak negatively about homosexuality and transvestism, and etc. These are not just policies that we see coming out of the past, but it is rather that this is a pattern that has been developing over time in this country. And we see, Facebook does religious censoring, on and on and on. We have these problems. And so we have to be alert to a couple of things. One, the people in the government are doing this as a way to go after the church's tax-exempt status. That is, people have said, to me, I said this a few years ago, and people strongly disagreed with me that I'm exaggerating. I don't think so. I don't think, as a matter of this is practically inevitable. And what they'll do is try to force the churches to do same-sex ceremonies for wedding. And, some of the churches have capitulated on that issue. Mm-hmm. And they do a ceremony. By the way, I would point out that among those churches that have done so, this has not meant a warm embrace by people on the left, et cetera, say, oh, great, they've changed to where we are, let's go there. No, what happens is because those churches don't stand for the gospel and for the truth of being human, you can see that the people leave. Now, when you look at the Episcopal Church, there are about a little bit more than three times as many Jewish people in New York City as Episcopalians in the whole country. And for the Presbyterian USA, which is a little bit smaller, same, but basically the same. And for the President's denomination, the United Church of Christ, which used to be the Puritans back, a few hundred years ago, they're direct link to the Puritans. They're down to about 300,000, I think. So this is destroyed. Changing the gospel destroys churches, especially those that were founded on the basis of sola scriptura. They believe in scripture alone. And they've abandoned scripture and the traditional teaching of the church and the meaning of marriage as is by human nature between a man and a woman. And as they abandon all that, they die out. And that is exactly what they want us to do.
Right.
Look at Mr.
Right.
Kane. Tim Kaine said, I believe yesterday or the day before, that I know the Catholic Church will change its teaching on same-sex marriage. No, we won't.
Mm-hmm.
He's changed, and that's what he said. I've changed. I used to believe that way, but now I don't. But because he's wishy-washy, like President Clinton, who used to be pro-life, like Secretary Clinton, Hillary Clinton.
Jesse Jackson used to be pro-life, too.
She used to say she was pro-life, and she said in 2008 that marriage between a man and a woman is the bedrock of her faith, and that bedrock turned into quicksand, as it did for President Obama, who also had said marriage between a man and a woman. These people are doing this for convenience, and right now the convenience will be to target the Catholic Church as the biggest church on the block that's left, and the evangelical groups, which tend to be smaller individually but form a large group. That is their target. And this is something that we have to be alert to. After, you know, they'll try to force us, like they did with the mandate on abortion and birth control. The government, the president lied to Cardinal Dolan, said he wouldn't force that on the church, and then he did. And then they will try to enforce this same-sex marriage on the church. And when they can't, we'll first of all watch. We'll lose our mandate to do civil marriage.
That I think is pretty much that, because that's already happening in places like Mexico and Italy and
it's happened all over Europe.
Yeah.
So that'll be one. And then after that, if you still refuse, then they are going to take away tax exempt status and will lose all the church buildings. But if we don't stand up to this pattern as U.S. citizens and defend everybody. For instance, the burning of a mosque yesterday. That's an evil that we must stand up against. We have to defend Jewish people. When the city government of San Francisco, their council, almost voted to make circumcision illegal in that city. That's a right for Jewish parents to do. And we must defend them and all other people with their religious freedom. And in that way, we can defend our religious freedom as well.
All right, let's take a quick break, Father, because we only have about 5 minutes left. It's already 51 minutes past the hour. Time always flies with Father Mitch Pacwa, because he is so, so important and so informative in terms of helping us make decisions out there as voters. And again, this is a program to help educate you, as we had Lewis Brown on with us a few minutes ago, following up more with that on religious freedom with Father Mitch Pacwa. And don't forget to go to his Facebook page, because you can still go on and link to the webinar that he had in great detail on this yesterday through our Sunday Visitor. And we're not endorsing candidates here on this program or on EWTN. We're just putting information out there as to what's happening and what you need to be aware of. We'll wrap up with Father Mitch when we come back on a Thursday morning. You're listening to EWTN. Stay tuned.
Jesus knew the power of a good story, and his parables teach us lessons that help us love like him. The Parable Project tells the stories Jesus told, using drama, audience participation, and improv to bring home the messages of the gospel. The Parable Project is a drama ministry ready to visit your school, your church, or your organization. To book the Parable Project, please call 313-359-1736. The Parables, by the author of the universe.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
There's no place like home. Bravura Home Care gives seniors the option to live independently in the comfort of their own home. We give you peace of mind by providing individualized care options overseen by a care manager. We carefully screen all personal care attendants who are certified, bonded, and insured. We are owned and operated by a registered nurse with extensive hospice experience. Call Bravura Home Care today at 734-833-5506 or go to bravurahc.com.
The temperature and leaves are beginning to change, and so are the rebates on all vehicles in inventory. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during our Jeep Celebration event going on now, you can lease a new Jeep Cherokee, Patriot, or Compass for as little as $139 per month. These are award winners for quality, styling, and gas mileage. Come on in and see for yourself at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Wow, that went by so fast. Always appreciate the insight of Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Radio and TV. Check out his webinar, which you can still find online. Just go to his Facebook page and you can link to it and listen to it. It was all about what we were just discussing in the last segment, what we need to do as Catholic voters. And Father, I'm going to let you have the last word here, but there's so much we can talk about. We have to have you back on. I think the bottom line is that we have to be engaged. There's no more fence sitting anymore. And I get frustrated when I hear that people are not going to vote. That, to me, I think is not, I don't think that's good. That's my personal opinion, but I don't think that's good, and I don't think that's what the Church is telling us to do.
No, that's not a good idea. I think that it's going to be very important to have everybody involved. As a matter of fact, I wish that everybody were involved at earlier stages of the elections. If you don't like the candidates, what were you doing to have better candidates? And also, we have to deal with a variety of other issues, including the opposition by the mass media to our doctrine, to our teaching, to our morals. And it's not, they will ask, demand of us that we be equal-minded, you know, that or open-minded, I should say. They'll want us to be relativistic, but they refuse to be relativistic. And they will criticize us at every stage of the way. This is something highly problematic, and we have to be alert to being involved in all the elections. That's our task.
Amen. Father, thanks so much. Well said. Again, you can check out his wonderful webinar from yesterday by going to his Facebook page, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Radio and Television, and, of course, EWTN Live on Wednesday evening. So talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Get out there, get involved, make a difference for the Lord. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
This Ave Maria Radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. When Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God,"
He is blessing those of us who are coherent and consistent and committed in our faith from the inside out. The commitment we have in our hearts is readily observable in our behavior. No